Well, in the few minutes that remain, let's turn to the book of 2 Kings and chapter 25. It's a real joy to be here again for this conference weekend and share together around the Word of God. 2 Kings chapter 25, and reading at verse 27. And it came to pass in the 37th year of the captivity of Jehoiakim, king of Judah, in the 12th month, on the 27th day of the month, that Evil-Merodach, king of Babylon, in the year that he began to reign, did lift up the head of Jehoiakim, king of Judah, out of prison. And he spake kindly to him, and set his throne above the throne of the kings that were with him in Babylon, and changed his prison garments, and he did eat bread continually before him all the days of his life, and his allowance was a continual allowance given him of the king, a daily rate for every day, all the days of his life. We look to God to bless this passage to us today. Did you ever ask yourself why books in the Bible start and end the way that they do? Do you ever ask yourself why the second book of Kings ends this way? It ends with a story of a man long forgotten, taken out of a dungeon, and being restored to a position of privilege, being spoken to kindly by his captor, and eating bread continually before him all the days of his life. Why does the writer of 2 Kings, and why does the Holy Spirit through this writer, why does he end this book with all of its kings and battles and wars, with a prisoner being freed from prison and eating bread at a table? Why is that important? Well, who is this king? Who is this man? This king's king, Jehoiakim. Wait a minute, you say. Jehoiakim's not the last king of Judah. No. Where is this man Jehoiakim been? Well, we read it there in verse 27. 37 years this man has been in captivity. I thought the king of Judah at the end was a man named Zedekiah. And indeed it is. Why don't we just read a verse or two about that in chapter 24. Just at the end of chapter 24. Zedekiah rebelled against the king of Babylon. And it came to pass in the 9th year of his reign, in the 10th month, in the 10th day of the month, that Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, came, he and all his host, against Jerusalem, and pitched against it. And they built forts against it round about, and the city was besieged unto the 11th year of King Zedekiah. And on the 9th day of the 4th month, the famine prevailed in the city, and there was no bread for the people of the land. And the city was broken up, and all the men of war fled by night by the way of the gate between two walls, which is by the king's garden. Now the Chaldees were against the city round about. And the king went the way toward the plain. And the army of the Chaldees pursued after the king, and overtook him in the plains of Jericho, and all his army were scattered from him. So they took the king, and brought him up to the king of Babylon, to Riblah, and they gave judgment upon him. And they slew the sons of Zedekiah before his eyes, and put out the eyes of Zedekiah, and bound him with fetters of brass, and carried him to Babylon. And that, of course, is the event of the destruction of Jerusalem. That's the beginning of the exile. The city's burned down, the temple's burned down. The king, he's going to give his life for his people, right? No, the king tries to escape. He tries to sneak out. He tries to sneak out by night. We read that in verse 4. With some of his soldiers. Tries to get away and save his own life. The people are in a desperate situation. He sacrifices them. He's going to go and he's going to try and save his life. And of course, he's captured by the Babylonians. And he's brought before the Babylonian ruler. And they bring along his sons. Here's the heir to the royal throne. Here's the Davidic line. And the last thing Zedekiah sees is the line being brought to an end. The last thing that he sees are his sons being put to death, and his eyes are blinded, and he's carried off. But wait a minute, we read that happened after Zedekiah had been reigning for over a decade. Well, who's this Jehoiakim fellow? Where does he come from? Let's just look back for a minute back in chapter 24. Chapter 24, verse 6. Jehoiakim slept with his fathers, and Jehoiakim, his son, reigned in his stead. Verse 8, Jehoiakim was 18 years old when he began to reign, and he reigned in Jerusalem 3 months. Verse 12, Jehoiakim, the king of Judah, went out to the king of Babylon, he and his mother, and his servants and his princes and his officers, and the king of Babylon took him in the 8th year of his reign. He carried out thence all the treasures of the house of the Lord, and the treasures of the king's house, and cut in pieces all the vessels of gold which Solomon, king of Israel, had made in the temple of the Lord, as the Lord had said. And he carried away all Jerusalem, and all the princes, and all the mighty men of valor, even 10,000 captives, and all the craftsmen and smiths, none remained save the poorest sort of the people of the land. And he carried away Jehoiakim to Babylon, and the king's mother, and the king's wives, and his officers, and the mighty of the land. Those carried he into Babylon from Jerusalem to Babylon. Verse 17, the king of Babylon made Mattaniah, his father's brother, king in his stead, and changed his name to Zedekiah. Let's see if we can put this together. Jehoiakim, a young man, 18 years of age, he comes to the throne, and he's there for 3 months. The king of Babylon takes him, and he carts him off, along with, we read there, his wives, his mother, his officers, the mighty of the land. He carts all these people off into Babylon, and he makes Zedekiah the king. Changes his name to Zedekiah. We read there that his name was originally Mattaniah, and he made him king. Zedekiah's reigned now for about a decade. No doubt, well, who knows what happened to this Jehoiakim. I mean, you can imagine what happened to him, what happens to most of the captive kings when they get taken off far away to their captor's country. Well, I'm sure he's not around much anymore. I imagine the people assumed that Jehoiakim was long gone. Zedekiah rebels. Babylon comes. The city is destroyed. The temple is destroyed. The royal seat is extinguished. The king is blinded, carried off to Babylon, and the people are brought into exile. And you think that that would be the end of the story, where the book would end. And yet we have this subscript. Now, by my math, that's about 25 years later. We have this little incident. There's Jehoiakim, long forgotten, assumed to be long gone. And the writer closes the book by telling how a new king in Babylon lifted up Jehoiakim, spoke kindly to him, set his throne above the thrones of the kings that were with him in Babylon, changed his prison garments, and he did eat bread continually before him all the days of his life. And why did the writer put this at the end of this book? For the encouragement of God's people. That God's promises still hold. The promises of a Davidic seed. The promises of David's ultimate heir. The promises of the Messiah. They still hold. The royal seed was not entirely extinguished 25 years ago outside the walls of Jerusalem. Jehoiakim is still alive. And what does this mean? Because Jehoiakim lives, and maybe I should say this, why is Jehoiakim still alive? Maybe because he was the best of the kings? I submit to you that maybe he was the worst of the kings. He is a man whose life was so displeasing to God. Does Scripture even suggest that his name was changed to remove any link with the name of Jehovah? This was the king who about whom the Lord said, if he was a signet ring on my hand, I would take it and cast it away. No, it's not because Jehoiakim was a good king, but because God is gracious and faithful. And that's what I want to get to here today. You see, if Jehoiakim wasn't alive and Zedekiah was Judah's last king, what a disappointing king he was. But because Jehoiakim, even evil Jehoiakim, lives, Judah's last king isn't the king who went into a garden by the edge of the city wall that he might desert the people to their death and save his own life. Instead, Judah's last king is a king who went into a garden beside a city wall that he might give his own life and save the lives of his condemned people. You see, because Jehoiakim is still alive in God's grace, Judah's last king is not a king whose eyes were blinded by his enemies because he was caught trying to save his life and abandon his people. Judah's last king is the king who allowed them to blindfold him and to beat him, allowed his enemies to mock him that he might deliver his people. And because Jehoiakim lives, Judah's last king is not the king who saw the end of his seed just outside Jerusalem city walls, but Judah's last king is the king who saw the beginning of a great and eternal seed just outside Judah's city walls. What does Isaiah 53 say? He shall see his seed. And what does the book of Hebrews say that we're going to consider? Behold, I and the children who God has given me. It's encouraging to read verses like this. And they remind us that Scripture is even in what seems sometimes to be just the most obscure details, it's reminding us of one great truth. God is faithful to his promise. God is faithful to his promise. And these are difficult days, aren't they, even in which we are called to live. We're going to read tomorrow in Hebrews 11 about difficult days in which God's people have lived a whole array of trials and tribulations that have been against them. God is faithful in all of them. He always keeps his word. Brothers and sisters, let's have faith in our faithful God.